Good to see everybody again. Thank you so much for inviting me back to be with you. It's good to see so many people and see, as I look around, I say, hey, there's somebody else. Hey, I haven't seen that person. And again, thank you so much for having me come. And I want you to know that you hold a special place in my life as a congregation, especially, you know, when I came here, I don't know how many years ago it was. I'd like to go back a couple years ago. And I was just a kid. That's right. Thanks, Larry. And I was trying to find a congregation to move to from Salt Lake City. And a single preacher doesn't get a lot of choices to go to. And Queen Way asked me to come. And I'll always remember that. A lot of places would not ask me to come. And y'all did. And because of that, the 3 years I was here, it helped me so much. It really did. In lots of different ways. During that time, of course, I met Laura. And because of, you know, rules and distance that you can be from family and so forth, I had to move back to North Alabama area. And, but I want you to know that I don't know if I'd still be preaching, but I don't know how I would have done and so forth if it wasn't for y'all. So again, I thank you so much for all that. And then Laura's taken over from then and she's made me look good. She dresses me good. Things match. She's not touching my shoes though, but other than that, she can fix anything else she wants. And it's also good to see people. You know, I don't recognize Veda here. I introduced myself. I didn't know who she was. And then here, I said, Veda, you used to be this big. And then other people that I met, but I didn't recognize because now they have no hair. And so it goes different ways. And Theo, I'm just real proud of him. I can remember the first couple times he came. I think he came right off the slopes. Anybody had his board coming in? I don't know. And, but he came. And of course, Holly had a great, part, I'm sure, in setting a godly example and so forth and trying to teach him. And seeing weight on the table. Those are the things when you leave, you wonder what's gonna happen to people. You wonder how are they gonna grow? Or are they gonna still keep coming? And it's sad sometimes there's gonna be some people that aren't here anymore. That should be here. Not because they've passed or moved on. And that's sad. But then you see other people. And Glenn's sitting over here. And, you know, that's inspiration. He probably can't hear what I'm saying, but the rest of us can. And one time there was a man called Brother Orvis when I lived in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Brother Orvis was 102 years old. Brother Orvis couldn't hear. He couldn't see very well. And literally he had to be carried in. And he sat in the second row. He sat right there always. And someone said to Brother Orvis, why do you come? You're 102 years old. You can't hear. You can't see. You got to be carried in, carried out. Why do you come every service? And Brother Orvis said, if all I can do is sit here, I'm going to sit here. And sometimes when you get older, that's all you can do. But you come. And I want you to know there's so many that are here that you've grown and keep growing. You know, the world's not always a nice place. It's not. But the Lord's always nice. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. We're going to talk about revival. You have to be revived. You have to keep being on fire for the Lord. And it's not just emotions. It has to be emotions with the right things. That's like worshiping in spirit, but you also got to worship in truth. You got to put them all together. So we're going to talk about different things. This morning we're going to talk about you have to have this attitude. If you don't have the right attitude, then your revival won't be worth very much. And tonight we're going to talk about what you have to have. You have to have this in your life to be able to have revival. Then once we understand what it is and what you have to have, we're going to talk Monday night, revival for the lost. We've got to get excited and get out there and try to reach the lost. And then Tuesday night, revival in the families. Families need revival. We need husbands being husbands, wives being wives, children being children. We need that going on in the United States and in the world. We don't see it anymore. We've got to be that example. Then we have to have on Wednesday night. What's my Wednesday night? Someone help me out. Revival in the local church. Local church has to be revived. Even in the Bible talked about, the Lord said some churches were lukewarm. And we don't want to be lukewarm, so we've got to be on fire as local church. And then we're talking about the last night, that if you don't have revival, you won't make it into heaven. And that's how important it is. So we're all excited. As I said, I'm going to preach from down here. Reason, in my travels, I've preached some places where I'm so far back, I can't see the back row. So I'm going to sit up close. And I promise, if you fall asleep, I'm going to come get you. And if you start playing with video games, guys, I'm going to turn them off. And if you're on the telephone, you just better leave. You know what I mean? I've been places where they've talked on the phone during my lesson. Loud. I waited. Thank you. Now I can close enough, I'll say, turn it off. So y'all make sure where I preach at, a lot of times I make announcements. If you have a cell phone, see, I'm old school. I see all you people going like this. I do that too. I get dusty. Mine gets dusty all the time. Turn off your cell phones. We're here, like as Kyle said a few moments ago, what a privilege to be able to worship the Lord. And that's what we're doing this morning. But again, thank you so much. And if there's anything you'd like for me to try to mention in any of my sermons, you say, Paul, I'd like to hear something. I'll try to get it in the best I can. Okay, as we used to do here, and as I do everywhere I go for my meetings, we always we have a Bible reading. We always ask the congregation to stand. It comes from Nehemiah. Just a second, Sarah. Sarah says, I can't wait to stand up. My legs are cramping up on me. She's got a baby in her hand. In the book of Nehemiah, they open up the Word of God, it says, and they stood for 6 hours to listen to God's Word. Well, 6 hours. That was just, the reason they did it was to show respect. God's Word's being read, we're going to go ahead and stand. So right now I ask you to stand, and it's from Genesis chapter 1. Please stand now for the reading. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God divided the waters which were under the firmament from a water. And it was so. God called the firmament heaven. The evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw it was good, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, which seed was itself after his kind. God saw it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And the congregation said, amen and amen. Please be seated. From an early age, we begin to teach our children the importance of obedience. As they get older with the obedience, we try to teach them proper manners and respect. We teach them yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, thank you. We try to teach them some things that go with their manners. And we continue this throughout our life. And that's why lots of times you see people, and I appreciate sometimes when you talk to people, as I had come in, they say, I hear them say, yes, sir, no, sir. And they're 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and they still have those manners. The goal of obedience should be foremost in the life of a Christian. That's what a Christian is. A Christian says, I'm going to obey God. You have to have the right attitude of obedience to God, or you can't have revival. The reason you want to have revival is because you want to be obedient to God. Now, the first time the word obey is used is in Genesis 27, verse 8. Genesis chapter 27, and in verse 8, this is the first time the word obey is used in the Bible. And it's Rebecca here. She's telling her son to obey her voice. And it says in 27 verse 8, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. So the idea of obedience, that means listen, now follow through. Now when you turn to Deuteronomy 11, here you have God speaking. And look what God says in Deuteronomy now 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And in verse 26, listen to what it says. Deuteronomy 11, and in verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if you'll not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. So here you have the command. God says, obey and you'll be blessed. Disobey and you'll be punished. So the idea of obedience, God has always expected His people to obey. And then when you turn to the New Testament in Acts chapter 5, it doesn't change. Here you have the early Christians in Acts 5 and verse 29. Here you have the apostles out preaching to people. And as they were preaching, of course, governments were upset. They're putting them in and out of prison throughout the book of Acts and in the New Testament. But here's how the apostles answer with regards to obedience. Acts 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. God has always expected His people to obey whatever He said. Finally, you come to Hebrews 5 and in verse 9. Hebrews 5 and in verse 9. And here's what it reads. It's talking about Jesus, of course, and being made perfect. Hebrews 5 verse 9. He became the author of salvation unto all men that obey Him. It can't be spoken any plainer for anybody. The need for all of us to obey the commands of God. Now the word obey means first you gotta listen. You gotta hear it. Then you gotta attend to it. You gotta think about it. Okay, I'm supposed to wash the dishes. You heard it. Now that's just because you heard it, that's not obeying. Now, okay, let me get some soap. Let me get some this. Let me get the this. Oh, I'm going back old school. No dishwashers here. Let me get some soap. Let me get some towel. You get everything ready. Now you follow through. That's what God gives us commands. Now you listen. Okay, how can I do that? Let me think. Let me get everything in my mind. Let me think what I'm supposed to do. Okay, now let me go through. Singing's a good example. God wants us to sing. Okay? Let me get a song book ready now. Let me get the song picked out. Let's see what song. Let me get my voice. Let me get ready. Let me think about what I'm going to do. You still haven't obeyed yet. Now let me sing. And then not only sing, let me sing with joy in my heart. Let me sing and teach one another. Let me show you some examples really quickly. Go back to Genesis 1. Let me show you. And I want you to notice the attitude of the things we're going to talk about. We just read Genesis chapter 1, the first 3 days of creation. So what happens in verse 14? God said to let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night and let there signs and seasons for days and years. And let them be lights in the firmament of heaven to give light unto the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. Again, He made the sun and the moon and the stars. He said, Son, I want you over there. And the sun said, yes, sir. He went right up there. He said, Moon, I want you over there. And the moon said, yes, sir, and went right there. And He said, Stars, I want you everywhere, up there. And the stars said, yes, sir, and they went right there. And then look what happens in verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God said it was good. He made the great whales and said, you get in the water. And the whales said, yes, sir. He made birds and told them to go into the sky. And the birds said, yes, sir. And they went into the sky. Look in verse 24. And God said, let us bring forth every living creature after his kind. Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. He said, cows, get over there. Horses, get over there. Snakes, get over there. And they all said, yes, sir. And they all obeyed. Then you come to the parting of the Red Sea. You have the Egyptians following Pharaoh. They're following God's people. They get to the Red Sea. And the people are worried. Here they come, the bad guys behind. And they're looking ahead. And there they have the waters there. And they're afraid. They're fearful. And so God, through Moses. Moses puts out his staff. And the waters parted. God said, waters part, and the waters said, yes, sir, and they all parted. Now you come to the New Testament in Mark chapter 1. You have demons. These demons are possessing people. And in Mark 1 and in verse 21, look at this story. Look what happens here. Mark 1 and in verse 21. They went to Capernaum. This is Mark chapter 1, verse 21. He entered the synagogue and taught. And verse 21 and 22, they were astonished at his doctrine. He taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And there was one in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we done with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art. You're the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him or thrown him down, he cried with a loud voice, and he came out of him, and they were all amazed. Here you have a demon possessing an evil spirit in a person. And the Lord says, "Evil spirit, get out." And the evil spirit said, "Yes, sir." And he got out. And then you turn to Mark chapter 4. Here's another familiar story. Jesus and his followers are on a boat. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35. They're passing over to the other side. And in verse 37 of Mark 4, there arose a great wind. And the waves beat in the ship, so it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. The Lord said, "Storm, stop." And the storm said, "Yes, sir." Now let me ask you, are you surprised that this happened? Are you surprised that all these things said, "Yes, sir"? I'm not. God made them. He made the sun. How dare the sun say, "I ain't doing it"? Even the demons, they said, "We know who you are." And the demons who have no intention of serving the Lord, you know what they said? "Yes, sir. Even though we don't like you, even though we hate you, we know you're in charge. And we know you're going to do whatever you want anyways." How about the wind? Are you surprised? Who do you think made the wind? And the waves going up and down. He said, "Hey, calm down, guys. I made you." And they all said, "Yes, sir." Now let me ask everybody a question. How come we don't say yes, sir? How come y'all don't say yes, sir? Why don't you obey? The sun did, the moon does, the wind does, air does. He created all, they all said yes, sir. They all obeyed. Why is it we don't say yes, sir? Who do you think created you? You can't have a revival until you have an attitude of saying, "Yes, sir. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it." And then you realize he's in charge. What does he want me to do? Why don't we say yes, sir? Here's a couple of reasons I think we don't say yes, sir, and obey. We're not very humble. We think we can do things without anybody's help. I don't need anybody's help. We even do that. Men, don't try to tell a man how to get someplace when he's lost. He knows where he's going. My daddy would go around in a circle for an hour. "Hey, I know. We passed this place 3 times. I know. I like it." I've had people go over bridges, come back over a bridge, and go over a bridge. You can't tell them. They know. And that same principle is even in spiritual, in our spiritual lives. They think, "Well, I can make it." You can't make it. You can't make it on your own. Try and get your sins washed away by your blood. Try and get your sins washed away any other way but by the blood of Jesus. You can't do it. You have to humble yourself and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then you study and you read and you find out, hey, Jesus shed his blood for the remission of my sins. I need to contact that blood. And you do when you're baptized for the remission of your sins. You've got to say, "Lord, I'm sorry." Humble yourself. I need your help. In James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Here's what it says. You have to be able to accept the gospel. Here's the way it says you have to be. To be able to obey, look what it says in James 1:21. "Lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness," don't be naughty, "and receive with humbleness," or meekness, "the engrafted word which saves your souls." That's your immortal soul. You want your immortal soul to be saved? Then you better humble yourself and accept this word. And you know what? I don't like some of the things that ask me to say sometimes. You know that? You know what it tells me? I gotta love my wife when she cooks a rotten dinner. I gotta love my wife when she tells me to do something. I don't want to do it all the time. And you know what it says, kids? You gotta obey your parents. Yeah, but I don't like making my bed all the time. I don't want to take the garbage out. I know, but sometimes that's the way life is. You've got to obey, even though you might not like the commands. But it saves your soul. And the Lord tells us, I tell you what, you better sing with joy in your heart. Well, I don't think it. Well, you better find it. You better give as you're prospered. I don't know if I want to give my money. You better obey. You see? That's what it says. You receive, but you got to be humble. If that's what the Lord says, He knows. The Son said, hey, He made me. He knows where I need to go. He said to the whales, you go over there. The whales, you know what? I think I'd like to live in Hawaii under a palm tree. No. The whale said, you made me. You know what I need. And when God tells us to do something, we have to say, okay, God, you made me. I'll do whatever you said. So you have to humble yourself if you're going to say yes, sir, and have a right attitude. Second thing, sometimes we don't realize how bad sin is. Sin is wicked. It's wicked. And you'll say, yes, sir. And you'll say, I'm doing that because I don't want to do what's wicked. When the Lord comes back in Thessalonians, you know what it says? He's coming back with vengeance on those that do not, get ready, obey. Isn't that enough? I don't want vengeance. What do we do if a storm's coming? If a storm's coming, you battle down, you close your windows, you get everything inside, you take your lawn chairs if the wind are coming, you put them in the garage. You don't want, it's a big storm coming. Well, I tell you what, there's a big storm coming. It's the Lord on Judgment Day, and He's going to look at us and see whether or not we've obeyed. And if that's the case, we have to learn how to say, yes, sir. And we better realize how terrible it is to sin. Sin is terrible. It's wicked. And when you realize it's wicked and you don't want any part of it, you'll say, yes, sir. Yes, you will. That's the same as a little child. A little child disobeys. If they know there's something that's coming that's not a time, what's the time out for? Time out! What do you do? Do the kid, time out! How about, I'm counting to three, and then you're going to get it. My daddy couldn't count to two. Larry, did your daddy say, I'm going to count to 100 before I'm going to get you? No. They said, one time, don't do it. And what happens if you did? You can't say anything because they'll take you to court nowadays. But you know what they said in Proverbs. Don't spare the rod. That's what it said. And kids say, I'm making my bed. You know what happened last time I didn't make my bed? They know how the punishment's terrible. You'll obey when you know how wicked sin is and what it can cause you to be. It can cause you to lose out in a beautiful place called heaven. And the third reason some people don't say yes, sir, is because you know what they say? Well, I know I'm doing bad, but a lot of Christians do bad. And you know what? A lot of Christians do bad. But I don't compare myself to the bad ones. I compare myself to the good ones. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:1. Here's what Paul said. Paul says an interesting statement. He says, follow me. But look what he says after that. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, be followers of me as I am of Christ. So, you know, some people say, well, I'm not as bad as other Christians. That's right. You're both bad. You're both bad. Why don't you say, hey, I'm not as good as those people. I need to get better. So why is it people don't, why don't we say yes, sir? Because we're not very humble. You have to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. We sing that song. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And then you got to realize, hey, when it's, you're humble yourself. Yes, sir. What do you want me to do? Because I sure can't do it on my own. And when you realize how wicked sin is, you'll say, yes, sir. I'm sorry. I won't do it anymore. And when you realize, hey, I'm not comparing myself to the bad ones. I need to compare myself to the good ones. I need to start saying yes, sir, like the Lord wants. That's what it takes for all of us in our service to the Lord. You have to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. That's what Paul did. Think about Jesus. Jesus came. What was he described as a person? When he was on earth, he described himself as a servant. He was a servant. He said, I came here to do my Father's will. I came to obey. That's what he came to do. That's why 1 Peter says what? He died, leaving us an example to follow. What's his example? Of a humble person who knew he couldn't do it on his own. And he had the attitude, I want to obey. I want to obey. Look what it says in Philippians 2, verse 5. In Philippians 2 and in verse 5, here's a description. Why was he able to say yes, sir, to his Father? Look what it says in Philippians 2. You ready? And in verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Here's the mind Jesus had, and this is the mind you have to have. This is the attitude you have to be able to have a revival. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. That's the first thing. I'm a servant. I'm not in charge. God is. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, what's the first thing he did? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. I can't make it on my own. So whatever the Father says, yes, sir, I'm doing. I need all the help I can get. And he was obedient. That's what? How long? Till he died. He didn't just quit when raised from the waters of baptism. He just wasn't, you know, we're just not baptized and hey, at least I'm a Christian. No, you have to do it till you die. You do it to the end. And then he left us an example that we can all follow. Think about this. Nature was told what to do and said, yes, sir, and did it. The animal world was told what to do. They said, yes, sir, and they did it. The apostles were told what to do, and they said, yes, sir, I'm going to do it. The early Christians, with the thought of being persecuted and hung from trees and burned at the stake and all those things, they said, yes, sir, and we're going to do it. We come to 2015, and we tell Christians, and you learn, and you listen to what it says, and God says, I want you to do it. And I tell you what, shameful as it is, I don't say yes, sir, all the time. I ought to be ashamed. You don't say yes, sir, all the time, you ought to be ashamed. We all should be ashamed. Why don't we say yes, sir? Well, some of the reasons we said, we all fall short, it's no excuse. But I tell you what, that's when you get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't say yes, sir. Help me say yes, sir, more. Maybe you didn't know. And someone says, hey, did you know you're supposed to do that? I didn't know that. I'm sorry, Lord. Now I know. But that's usually not the case. Everybody here knows. We're supposed to teach the lost. We know you. That's not the first time you've ever heard that. We'll talk about getting that revival. Y'all know you're supposed to love your mates. You're supposed to love your husband. You're supposed to love your children. You're supposed to love your parents. Y'all know that. It's nothing new. But you better be revived. Local churches are supposed to get along. Brothers and sisters, you're supposed to love each other. You're supposed to talk nice to each other. Be kind to each other. Even if a person's strange like me, you're still supposed to just pray for me and be humble and help me out. Every time I go, I tell you what, there's kooks in every local church. There's some kooks here today. I don't know which ones. There's some. Everyone. There's some everywhere. So what do you do with the kooks? I tell you what you do. You love them. And you're kind to them. And you don't speak evil against them. That's what you do. Well, y'all know that. But why don't we say yes, sir? That's what you're going to have to answer. And when you say, yes, sir, I'm going to do what you want me to do, you'll start having a revival. But you got to have that attitude. Let me ask you a few questions to finish up with. You ready? If you're a member here at the Queenway Church, are you going to do everything you can to be here every time the doors are open, especially during this gospel meeting we're having? I tell you what, here's your answer. When the Lord's asking that, you better say, yes, sir. Are you ready to give us your prosperity every Lord's day when that plate's passed around? Yes, sir. Are you going to care and love for your brothers and sisters, especially those that are going through some hard times? Are you going to love them and care about them and pray for them, not talk evil about them? Are you going to do it? Yes, sir! Are you going to humble yourself and pray? Are you going to try to participate as a member here at Queenway? They need elders, they need deacons, they need song leaders, they need teachers, they need all kinds of things. Are you willing to try to grow so you can participate in that? Yes, sir! That's your answer. That's the attitude you have to have. It's time for all of us. We've got to say it more, and we have to say it more, and we have to say it more. Yes, sir. And when we don't say yes, sir, as quick as you can, tell the Lord you're sorry. And then get about serving Him. You can't have a revival in your life until you realize God will obey, and you have to say yes, sir. You want me to teach the lost? Yes, sir. I'm supposed to love my mate? Yes, sir. Children, I'm supposed to obey my parents? Yes, sir. I'm supposed to love my brothers and sisters? Yes, sir. And then, okay, now how do I do it? That's what we're going to talk about the rest of the week. How do I do those things that you want me to do? Well, on the day of Pentecost, probably over 100,000 people at least were there. Some of the people that probably literally participated in the crucifixion. They heard about who Jesus was, and they asked the question, what shall we do? And he told them, you better repent. You know who you crucified. They were believers. That's why they asked. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need to do. And you know what 3,000 people said? On the count of three, tell me what they said. One, two, three.
Yes, sir.
That's what they did. How come 9,700,000 others didn't? Yeah, I'll tell you why they didn't. They weren't humble. They said, well, hey, it's not that bad. People do lots of things. We only killed one guy. It's not like we killed a whole bunch. I don't know. 3,000 said, yes, sir. And it said those 3,000 were added to the Lord's family. Now, they're going to have to be faithful. They're going to have to keep having a revival for all the things they have to do. But it all starts. It all starts by being in the Lord's family. If you're not a Christian, that's how you become one. And if you're a child of God and you haven't been saying, yes, sir, I tell you what, you better tell God you're sorry. And if you've hurt anybody else by not saying, yes, sir, you go to them and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I've hurt you, hurt me, hurt others, whatever it is. You say you're sorry to the person. And then you get about learning to say, yes, sir. We teach our children to say, yes, sir. We say, yes, sir, to good people and good women and men, women, all our life. And that's nice. But it's pretty shameful when we don't say, yes, sir, to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who we're going to meet on the last day. Just think, you're going to meet Him on the last day. He might only ask you one question. I got a question for you. How come you didn't say yes, sir, to me? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Why didn't you say yes, sir? Or you might say, I'm so glad you said yes, sir, all the time. Even when you fell short, you were quick to say, yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm going to obey you. Remember, what good does it do if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What good is it? It's nothing. It's no good. You know, your heart, it's a muscle, beats 72 times a minute when you're in shape. And when you exercise, it goes faster. Some people's heart even skips a beat every once in a while. But somewhere on this planet, this very second, somebody's heart just stopped. They'll never have a chance again to say, yes, sir. I'm going to have my sins washed away. Yes, sir, I'm coming back. I'm going to tell you I'm sorry. I'm going to tell the people I've hurt I'm sorry. They have no more chance. And they're going to meet the Lord with tears in their eyes because they're going to hear, depart, I know you not. You just didn't say, yes, sir. And if we can help anybody in any way to get their life right, we'd love to do that right now while we stand and sing.